Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It's a dark and stormy night in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, usually the sun and fun capital of the world, but we're going to have a brilliant, beautiful night tonight. This is Dr. John Stamey, and welcome to ScaryCast Tuesday. We got a great show for you, great guests, great co-hosts, and we're going to have a blast. First of all, I would like to introduce my co-host for the evening. He's been doing this ScaryCast Tuesday with me for a couple of weeks, and we've been having a lot of fun. Mark Johnston from One and Only Canada. How are you doing?
Hey, John. Hey, guys. I'm doing great. Looking forward to tonight's broadcast. It's always, whenever Robin's on, there's always interesting things to talk about. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
You better believe it, because I can't introduce Robin as a co-host tonight because she's one of our guests. And the Surgeon General of ScaryCast, the one and only Dr. Trey Donaway. How are you doing tonight, Trey?
Trey, you
I'm
made it.
I'm doing great, John. I'm happy to be here.
I am
We're
so glad you're here.
Robin was telling
Couldn't
me today
turn down
she
the
was
invitation.
Hoping you would make it. So thank you very much. Let me ask you this. We're having a dark and stormy night here in Myrtle Beach. What are you having over there in the Midlands of South Carolina?
I went out to get some chicken wings, and I thought I'd need scuba gear.
Okay, I got you. You got the same dark and stormy night that I've got here. That's okay.
Oh,
and probably Robin, too. Anyway, we have got two marvelous, marvelous guests tonight. I'm so glad that they're here with us. First of all is from our own ScaryCast, one of our hosts there, who is now a guest tonight, Robin McCray from the Midlands of South Carolina. And Robin, it's always dynamite to have you as a guest. How are you doing?
I am doing great. I think we're going to have a good show tonight. We've got a really interesting topic. Sometimes we don't always like to hear, you know, some of these things, but they need to come out. So I have a very good friend of mine, Doreen Fisher, that is with me tonight, and we're going to get some information out to everybody.
Well, great.
Hey.
And hello, Doreen. It's so nice to have you with us from the lower part of Illinois, right? That's where you're from, correct?
Yes, central Illinois, like the very middle of the state. So, yes.
Okay, good. Well, we're glad that Illinois is okay. It's not flooded. It's not a desert. It's just doing great, right?
It's actually flooded here right now. The scuba gear might work here too today. So
yeah. I'm building an ark. I vote for the ark. I've got too many animals.
Well,
I got to have an ark.
Well, that's great.
Yeah,
we've got a host. We've got a host on Pop Culture Stars on Wednesday night, Todd Saxon, and he is in Indianapolis. He is our northernmost outpost for all of our podcasts, and he tells me, yo, it's a mess. Anyway, I'm going to turn this show over for a moment to Robin McCray because we have got a hot topic tonight. And I don't want to take away any time that she could have talking about it. And she and Doreen are going to talk, and Mark and Dr. Trey and I are going to chat and enjoy ourselves learning about this, the dark side of Bigfoot research. So, Robin, the floor is yours.
Thank you, John. Yeah, we wanted to talk a little bit about the things that go on behind the scenes. You know, you go on social media or even when you go to different events and you're out in the field or conferences and, you know, you see everybody and everything looks wonderful, you know, and you get that rainbow and unicorn kind of effect. But the reality of the situation is a little bit different. You have a lot of different groups to begin with when you deal with any kind of cryptids. And when it comes to the Bigfoot, you have the group of we believe in only flesh and blood. Then you have another one that knows that they're flesh and blood and paranormal, and they're multidimensional, which is what they are. And I'm sorry, it's hard for people, but that's the truth. And then you have another camp that is upset because the DNA proved that they were a human hybrid. And so what happens is you have all of these factions, and they're all arguing amongst themselves behind the scenes. And there's a lot of jealousy in this field. You know, everybody wants to be the one to make the big discovery. Well, the cat's already out of the bag. They've already been discovered. We just can't get the government on board to admit it. And then we have the situation with the government. And I started talking about this on World Bigfoot Radio, because things behind the scene are not as nice as they seem. It's one thing to get your feelings hurt when you're on social media. It's another when your life is threatened. It's another when people try to physically harm you. You know, myself, I've gone through these experiences. I've had problems with the government. And so Doreen and I were talking, and she's experienced some of these things as well. And we really felt like it was a good idea to bring this out so people are aware. This is what really happens. This is the real life stuff, and it isn't always pleasant, but it needs to be addressed so that people are aware of some of these things. And the people that are doing the harassment, we're not going to name names. I mean, I've never done that. Doreen isn't going to do that. But you know what? The activities that go on behind the scene need to come out for people to keep them safe. So that's what we plan on doing tonight. And I'm going to turn this over to Doreen so she can get started on what she has to say. And we'll go back and forth, and I'll share stories as well as she is.
Yeah, when I was posting about this show this afternoon, the gaslighting started with a comment on the post. And it pretty much summed up a lot of the things that people believe or want to believe about Bigfoot, about what they really are. And when I say gaslighting, I hope everyone knows what the term means. It's basically people telling you that you're crazy for believing what you believe about certain things.
This is Dr. John, and I want to just give a little background. Gaslighting was first made famous in 1953 in the movie starring Charles Boyer and Ingrid Bergman called Gaslight, won an Academy Award. Yeah. And what he did was he tried to convince his wife that she was losing her mind. They would have steak for dinner, and he would say, no, we had shrimp. And I mean, and he was, and so just a lot of people don't know, and I think it's good to know background. It was a diabolical plot, and it almost worked. But anyway, so if you don't mind, I just wanted to share with everybody where gaslighting comes from. It's a cool concept. It's a cool, evil concept, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And I'm glad you went ahead and defined it, because I have a tendency to think everybody knows what it means, because in the paranormal and the Bigfoot world, it comes up a lot. We see it all the time, and it's the most minor thing that happens. Minor bad thing that happens in the Bigfoot world is the gaslighting and people telling us that we're crazy, you know, for seeing faces and trees and, you know, claiming that Bigfoot cloaked and all this stuff.
I've actually had people tell me that they don't exist when I'm looking in my backyard and watching one back there.
Yeah, that's the funny one.
Okay.
Robin. Yeah. And Robin comes from a place where this has been a part of her life since she was, I don't know, since you were born, from the time you were very young.
Yeah. So,
she doesn't remember a life, probably, in which these things didn't exist.
No, I just thought that's what everybody had.
Right. And I come from a place where I have had to kind of absorb the information as I've gone along. I mean, I always believed in Bigfoot. My father used to tell me, you know, to keep me in bed at night was to tell me the boogeyman would get me if I got out of bed. And I had this picture of Bigfoot in my head when he mentioned that name. And I think it's always been in the back of my mind all the time. I've always believed in Bigfoot. But I think that I come from a place, like most people, that have had to learn to absorb things gradually and been through this process of not believing something and being stubborn about believing it, and had to see things for myself and decide that I couldn't explain them any other way. And just go through, I think, the normal process for just a regular person coming in to the Bigfoot world. I mean, when I came in, I was all wide-eyed and crazy because I thought, you know, this was a new animal that I was going to learn about. And it's become a lot more than that. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it goes very, very deep, as Robin knows. And, you know, she's following my journey as I figure it all out, you know, everything that she already knows, basically, and has always known. But I think that a lot of people come in with the attitude, you know, that they want to learn something, and they come into the Bigfoot arena, into the groups on social media, and they find out that it's a really horrifying place to be at times. It's a terrible place to be. People have so many different views, and they are all, each, convinced that they are right in what they think they know.
Well,
and
they have preconceived notions. I mean, it's already in their head what it's supposed to be, and it's not even the reality of it.
No, they have it in a box. They put Bigfoot in this neat little box that they like, and if anybody deviates outside of that box, they can't deal with it. I mean, they will attack. And I can't understand why people can't just, you know, be basically rude instead of an outright, vicious, calculated attack. It's always like that. They can't just politely disagree for some reason.
I was, if I could just interject a minute. Today when you and I were talking about, you know, these people that come on, like, you know, you had somebody that was very hostile today on a post when you posted for the show. I was in another group, and the only reason I want to point this out is because there are some good people out there. There really are. And somebody had asked a question about Bigfoot's climbing trees and how can they get up there, and the topic of levitation came up. And I normally stay quiet because I'm so sick and tired of the haters. Like, I'm so tired of it. You know, if they don't want to know the truth, I don't try to tell anybody what to believe. All I can do is share my experience that I physically have witnessed and learned, and what the Bigfoots have taught me. And what they do with the information is up to them. And so they said something about levitation, and I went on there, and because it's a group that I feel pretty safe in, I went on there and I said, well, you know, yeah, they do climb trees all the time, regardless of how big they are. You know, they can climb the trees. They might fall out of the trees when they break the branches, but they get up there. But they can also levitate. And then I sat back to wait for the attack. And I had a lovely person that got on there, and he said, well, you know, I just find that so hard to believe. You know, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but there is no scientific proof that they levitate. There's nothing. And he went on, but he was nice. He was civil, and he started out saying, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I can't tell you how much I appreciated that, because that is not what I normally get.
Right, exactly.
And so I went on, and I said, listen, you don't feel bad for asking the question. Please, you know, if you don't believe it or whatever, ask it. You're being, you know, I'm not feeling disrespected in any way. I said, but what I can tell you is this. No, there may not be something scientific that I can put my hands on right now, but I have physically seen this with my own eyes. And he came back and he said, could you describe the situation?
Well,
and I said, sure.
Well,
and that's,
you know, Robin, I've got a comment to make about the statement, no scientific proof. The National Science Foundation does not give grants to study Bigfoot. The guy needs to be told they don't give money to study Bigfoots. So when he talks about scientific proof, there's no scientist that gets grants from the National Science Foundation that gets them to study Bigfoot. Therefore, they don't do it. So you need to tell the guy in no uncertain terms that's the reason that there is no scientific research. Because scientific research is paid for by the NSF grants. And I think I'm gonna be a real hardliner here, and I'm gonna say people need to be told the way it is, and you need to be very perfunctory about it. You need to be very certain about it, and say there's no research that's published because they don't support this. Here's the deal. I have a doctorate from North Carolina State, and I tell people what I think, because what I do is, you know, I do my own research. I've got a book coming out. I've got other books that are out and getting reprinted for the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. And the fact is, I do my own research. I fund my own research. And if anybody doesn't like it, tell them to come to Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and I'll debate them in front of 150 people. And I will win.
Yeah.
Because my research is based on scientific. So I'm just saying, I think people need to be quite definite about the fact that National Science Foundation doesn't support it. We all have to support it from our own pocketbook. And this is the way it is. And you stand there and you tell somebody that, they don't have a lot of place to go other than to sit down or walk out. And I'm very serious about it. And I'm afraid that and my talk at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference is going to make a lot of people mad, and I don't care. I'm going to enjoy it. The final title is Flim Flam, The Skeptic's Cookbook. And, you know, the skeptics, all they do is lie. That's all they do is lie.
Well,
because
my point with it was,
you know.
Go ahead.
So I'll shut up now. Okay.
No, you're fine. I just want to make the point that so – you know, people don't think that we're all, you know, like under attack on them. I'm not, and neither is Doreen. There are good people out there. But the problem the bad ones are just atrocious.
Yeah.
I mean, they go beyond any normal lengths. Go ahead, Doreen, finish. I'm sorry. I just wanted to interject that.
Well, you know, when you were talking about levitation, this is a little off topic, but I wanted to point out something that I – tell people when they ask me about Bigfoot levitating. And I can go into the whole spiel about vibration and all this, but if you do some research on Shaolin monks, you will find that they're meditating for hours and hours on end every day, and all the work that they do on themselves, they can levitate. They can do things like that. So levitation is not beyond the realm of possibility. I just wanted to get that out there. We can't explain it scientifically, but if we think in terms of vibration, energy, all the stuff like that, more things become possible. And I just want people to understand that I tell people what I think based on my own research, and it's just a little bit different, I think, than anyone else I've ever talked to. I always, if I hear Bigfoot did something, I'm like, well, how could that be possible? I'm not saying, no, that's not possible, like a lot of people are telling me. I'm saying, okay, well, this person isn't crazy. This person that's telling this story, I know, is not crazy. They've had an experience. They might have PTSD because of the experience, but that doesn't mean they're crazy. But they're telling me something, and I want to know how that could be possible. And usually, if I dig deep enough, I can find a way that those things can be possible, all of it. So I think people just need to think a little bit deeper about what they're saying and kind of go beyond science. And we need science. I appreciate science very much, but sometimes it closes off. Just like John is saying, you know, they don't allow for, you know, funding for any research on Bigfoot. So they've kind of cut off on that.
Yeah,
no, that's fine.
I agree with Doreen. I mean, science is important. Let's not discredit it. Look at the DNA study with Melba Ketchum. Okay.
Yeah.
I worked on that study. I don't care what anybody says. I will go to my grave knowing how legitimate that study is, because I know what went on in the background. All the stuff that nobody could, that ever got put out, because nobody would quit on the hating to get it. And what an amazing opportunity. Everybody wanted to know what these things are. So she puts her heart and soul in it. She gets accused of everything under the sun. And I guarantee you that most of the people out there don't know the whole story, and those are the ones that hate on everything and continually knock it down. Oh, it was contaminated. No, it wasn't. There were tests run to prove that there was contamination or not. It wasn't contaminated. You know, robotic arms did a lot of these studies. She didn't sit at home in her living room and do the DNA test herself. You know, people were tested to make sure their DNA wasn't on. I mean, there's just so many things in there, and that's another show. But the point is that there is a place for science, but these defy logic. They defy science. You know,
right.
Quantum physics comes into play. There's a lot of things there, and people are not aware of all the things because the government has blocked us at every turn. We have been programmed in our mind to think a certain way. So
right.
when people look out into the world, that's what they see. But unfortunately, what they see is not reality. And they can, you know, go on at me or Doreen or anybody they want to about, oh, no, you're the crazy one. No, actually, I'm not. So while you're all sitting there telling me how crazy I am and hating on me, I'm here and I've got them coming up to my house and knocking on my windows at night and peeking in the windows and running across my backyard. My neighbors have seen them. John's seen them. You know, not every single person that comes to my house, but a large majority of them. My son-in-law
yeah.
and daughter are staying with us temporarily. They've seen them. You know, my
yep.
granddaughter's seen them. I mean, if I'm so crazy, why is everything else in my life normal? Well, as normal as it gets around here. And other people come here and see the same thing. They've seen the flying saucers. They've seen the Bigfoot. They've seen the dogmen. You know, I'm a walking, talking freak show. But people have seen it. So that tells me that I'm not crazy because I'm not the only one. But these people take it to another level, and I really want to address that hard while we're on air. This thing
right.
turns into not just a verbal attack that is just unbelievable. I mean, the things that people spew, I can't even imagine. You know, if you don't agree with somebody, it's a thing called go to the next post, scroll on by.
Yeah.
There's nothing on social media that says that you have to speak or
yeah.
type.
Why does it trigger people so much for somebody to say something that they don't necessarily agree with themselves? I don't really understand the triggering part. Like they have to attack you, you know.
Threaten. I think it comes back to an ego. I really do. I think it has to be an ego.
Well, it is that, but I think it runs a lot deeper. And you and I have talked about that a little bit.
Yeah.
But
you have a lot of people that you have different entities that attach to. That would prefer
yes.
that the truth doesn't. Not everybody. Please don't ever think that I'm talking about everybody that's ever done anything nasty, because people are responsible for their own actions. But the reality of it is, and Doreen and I touched base on this earlier today, a lot of people, because they're in that mind space and they have the lower vibration and more of the gray energy and matter around them, what I call bottom feeders, you can call it whatever you want, but they're basically – they come in and they feed off that dark energy, and they don't want this information out. And they
right.
push people to attack.
They do. And these people we're talking about, this cult that we're talking about that seems to control everything, are really, really good at controlling minds. And I mean people who are a little weak-minded to begin with are very easily manipulated by this kind of thing. And I want to touch on that just a little bit, because I want to say that not all these people that do this necessarily have complete control of what's happening to them. I don't really think they would behave like this. I've run into some people who didn't behave like this normally and all of a sudden went off on me about something. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Like they
yeah.
kind of had a moment where they lost it. And they lost it in a very bad way. And I have to wonder where that comes from. But there are forces out there that do this kind of thing. I'm sorry if people don't believe that. And like I said in the beginning, I have had to come into all this gradually. I didn't believe any of it when I started. But the deeper you get into certain things, spirituality, metaphysics, quantum physics, the paranormal altogether, you can get really deep into this stuff. And before you know it, you're having experiences of it. And I wouldn't have believed any of the things that have happened to me if they hadn't happened to me. And like I was saying, Robin, you were a little bit different. These things have been happening to you forever. But I've had to come into these, you know, gradually, like most people do. You know, I didn't believe anything. And one by one, and, you know, I came to you early on. It's probably 8 years ago. I came to you to talk to you about these things because you were one of the few people that I could ask, you know, well, does this happen to you? Have you seen this kind of stuff? And you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've seen it all, and you had seen it all. And you were the only one at that time I could ask about it. Now there are more people who are talking about it. But
more people are starting to see.
They are. They are.
Yeah, but when I met Doreen, she was so refreshing because she was one of the few people, and it's been almost 10, 12 years ago when I met her.
10 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Facebook for 10 years, so.
Yeah, and when I met her, she wanted me to do an article, and we did it with about the flesh and blood side of them. And over the years, she would contact me, and we got a little bit edgier each time.
Mm-hmm.
And as she got exposed to it, and other people are getting exposed to it as well, because the Bigfoots are they want their information out. But they don't want to be so out that everybody's hunting them, okay? So when I say they want to come out, it's not that they're like, hey, look, we're here. That's not it at all. They want to just be left alone to live their lives with their families. They don't want to be hunted. They want to be people to know what they are, who they are, and leave them alone. It's not like they want to sit down and have dinner with you. They just want everybody to quit trying to kill them every other day, you know? And I talk to them all the time. I have contact with them all the time. My husband does as well. They're telepathic as well as they'll verbally speak to you. But these people go to a level that is now criminal.
Yes.
They don't just keep it to the hateful words. There's a physical side that gets really dangerous, okay? Myself, I have been, fortunately, it was stopped. There was supposed to be an attempt to kidnap me and put me in a cage out in the middle of the woods, because then that way the Bigfoot would come in to save me. And fortunately that stopped before it happened. I had another person, I was contacted by someone that I had met through Facebook that was a detective, and he wanted me to know that there was a group of people that were after the female researchers, and my name was on this hit list that they had. And the plans were to hit us over the head with a lead pipe so that when we're laying on the ground and our brains, as they put it, were spilling all out, the Bigfoot would come in and they could bag a Bigfoot. This is the level that people will go. And then you can turn around and look at the government level. I've had bank accounts frozen. I've had my phone tapped. I've been followed. I've had helicopters over my house. I've had the black sedans with the blacked out windows follow me wherever I go.
Yeah.
I've had my computers blown up from the inside out. I mean, this is ridiculous. Over what? Because they don't want the secret out? The secret's out. It's been out. They've been here for 15,000 years.
Yeah, and they can't deal with it.
No, they can't, because the unknown side of it, and this is me talking. This isn't the Ketchum study. So separate the two, because I would never speak for her. On that study, it shows that the mother was a human, the father was unknown, because they don't have access to any data bank to compare that DNA to. Now, you take that, separate it, put it on the side.
Well, the Bigfoot themselves is alien DNA or something.
Yeah, if you ask them what they are, they will point to you and say, we're human like you, and then point to the sky and say, and we're star people. And that's the part. Number one, the government can't handle the alien thing because they won't even admit that the aliens are here. Big news. I've got pictures of ETs. I've got pictures of UFOs that MUFON claims are class one sighting and not terrestrial.
Right.
So they're not fake. They're not forged. And then there's the human aspect. They don't want it out that they're part human. They catch them. They hold them in cages and underground bunkers all over the place. They do testing on them. They make hybrids out of them, you know, and they're part human. So there's a lot of factors out there, and all of these little factions are dangerous, and they will cause you physical harm. My God, when Melba Ketchum did the study, she was supposed to go speak at Hanobia, and they blew up a building. because they thought she was going to be in it. They didn't care if it killed her. They didn't care if it killed other people.
Does that tell anybody the level of the mindset of who we're dealing with here? It, you know, the people that don't want this known, the lengths that they will go to keep this information suppressed. I mean, seriously, why would they go to those lengths if there wasn't something about Bigfoot that was maybe more than what we can even imagine? Like I've said in the past that Bigfoot is kind of responsible for the beginning of what we call the Great Awakening. I mean, I can tell you the day the Great Awakening started was in 1967 in October when Patty walked across that riverbank.
And the Bigfoot's the greatest girl ever since. She's public enemy number one. The Bigfoots absolutely loathe her. She outed them.
But maybe, you know, on some level, I don't know, maybe on some level this was supposed to happen. Maybe this,
I agree,
you know, kind of started the Great Awakening, because before that, people were just sound asleep. You know, they couldn't imagine that there was anything like that in the world. And then all of a sudden, there she is. And then all of a sudden, the government's trying to cover it all up and doing really horrible things in order to cover it up.
Yeah,
so
there have been people that got samples and they've burst in their house.
Yeah, I mean, what is it about Bigfoot that has to be kept a secret at all costs? Tell me that. What is it? Why?
Well, this.
Why is
okay?
So
this is Dr. John, and I've got a comment to make about the Patty footage. And I don't know if y'all are aware of this or not. And it used to be all over the internet, but Morris Costumes out of Charlotte claims that the grandfather of their business, Mr. Morris, paid someone to go over there and create the Patty image, okay? I don't know if y'all know this or not. And they had some old dude at a conference. And the first thing that I did is I emailed the president of Morris Costumes. I said, do you have receipts that show someone flew from Charlotte to California to go perpetrate this thing about someone's playing Bigfoot? And they never responded. They could not prove a single thing that they alleged. And this is, again, on the internet, Morris Costumes in Charlotte, one of the largest costume companies in the world. They make a ton of money, and they claim that they did Bigfoot. And when I started asking them questions, they refused to answer. All they had to say was, we don't have receipts from back then. That's all they had to say, but they clammed up. And I just think it's really funny. And so that's what I know.
Then,
you know,
Hollywood couldn't even make a costume that could compare to Patty back
then.
No, they couldn't.
They could not.
No, and Igor Burstov did a complete study on that and analyzed the range and motion in the legs. I mean, a lot of time was spent on that, proving that it was real.
Yeah, and National Geographic couldn't even refute the film footage. So,
yeah.
I mean, they went over and over and over it. They couldn't refute it no matter what they did. So,
well, and what's really sad is, like, with the Ketchum study, the Sasquatch Genome Project, Adrian Erickson has a ton of footage that is just my understanding. I haven't seen it all, but my understanding is that it's just phenomenal. But he put out Matilda. That was his footage. That was absolutely 100% legitimate. Crystal clear. You don't get any better footage than what Adrian has. And yet people attacked him, which is why no more footage came out. You know, the problem is not only is this, you know, affects people's physical safety and their livelihood, okay, because I'm just putting this out here. People that are really in this deep end up as broke as they can be, not because if they're out there buying things to go see Bigfoot, but the government doesn't let you make any money. It doesn't matter if they shut you down at work or whatever. Bank accounts get frozen. Money disappears. Nobody knows what's going on, and it's very odd. Because the only time that seems to happen is when the research gets really deep.
And the things that go on are only things that the government could get into. So, you know, if it walks like a duck and looks like it's a duck, it's a duck.
Yeah,
but
the closer you get to the truth, the more that, yeah, the more you lose your money.
Yeah,
so.
And what people are not getting put out to them, the information, I mean, this is all information that everybody wanted. They wanted the truth, but the problem is they can't handle the truth. As soon as you start to give it to them, they go in a panic mode. Now, on one hand, I completely, 100% understand how crazy all of this can sound to somebody. And I don't tell people believe every word I say because it's gospel, because I'm not an expert. I don't believe in experts in this field of research. But if you're asking questions, that's a great thing. You don't have to believe everything that I say or anybody says. But let it soak into your mind and think about it. Don't be hateful. Don't attack. This is a subject that obviously you don't know. Otherwise, you wouldn't be asking the questions. How is anybody going to learn?
I think some people are just afraid of the prospect that there might be this being in the woods that they can't see and don't know is there and might feel threatened by. But for a lot of these people attacking, it seems to run a lot deeper than that. Like there is something else. There's some reason why they are so mean about it. And
I'm going to say something really mean. It's probably because they need to go get a job.
They need something to occupy their time.
And to be perfectly honest with you, they need to go get a job and go make some money because they're not making any money attacking Bigfoot. And I think that's dumb. And by the way, thank you, WLSC AM and FM, Loris, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We're so glad to be on your station. And we are having Bigfoot discussions tonight with Robin McCray and Doreen Fisher on Scary Cast Tuesday with our co-hosts Mark Johnston and Dr. Trey Donaway. And what I'd like to do now, if you ladies don't mind, I'd like to let Mark and Trey in because they probably have some interesting questions. Would it be okay if we let Mark and Trey in here?
Sure.
Okay, Trey Donaway, what do you have to say about all this? I can't wait to hear what you've got to say.
Well, let's take the COVID pandemic. You have proponents of people that claim that the vaccines are going to harm them, people that claim that the vaccines are going to benefit them. You have people that claim ivermectin is just the wonder drug that's being suppressed by the world. And you have other people that have claimed that ivermectin does nothing. Real research that's funded, and you have real researchers who receive money for figuring this out and have published papers. Recently there was a New England Journal of Medicine article that basically came out and said ivermectin is not shown to have any clinical value. And then you have hateful people saying, no, it's a sham. It's all made up. And as a surgeon, I have had patients that have just told me nonsensical things, and I've learned for people that just refuse to listen to my advice, I just say, okay, let me know if you change your mind, and I'll see you later. And it's difficult, but you just got to walk away from it. But if it drives someone's belief system and you're affecting their belief system, however you determine that or define that, then they will take it very personally. And I think it's the same way with Bigfoot. People believe, they don't believe. People want evidence, they don't get evidence. Evidence is available, it's suppressed. You know, we've got so many different variants, and with social media in particular, anybody can be a self-proclaimed expert, and social media gives them a position to become an expert. I always ask, where's the money? Who's making money off of one claim or another. And if someone can figure out how to make money off of one claim or another, I can understand that would be a very big motivating force for a lot of people, not so much for revealing the truth, not so much for discovering the truth of something, but rather personal gain. So anytime I look at someone who has fervent belief in something that they're willing to go to great lengths to protect, if they're making money off of it, that doesn't really help me look at what they're saying as being third party and without prejudice. So I think that's how I kind of look at this, where you look at people's motivations, and if it's truly affecting their ability to earn a living, then they're going to be much more defensive. And if it also changes their belief system, however you define that, some people will fight tooth and nail that you don't rock their world. So I think there are multi-factors that come into play that you could see on both sides of any argument.
Well, the thing is that, you know, when it comes to this field of research, you know, everybody wants this information. And I can only speak for myself. And Doreen and I have spoken several times, and we're really on the same page with all this, is how I feel. And nobody tries to shove any of this information down anybody's throat. It's one of those things that we're not standing on a soapbox going, okay, everybody, look at me, pay a dollar to come up and talk. Number one, if you're in this field of research, you make no money, okay?
Yeah.
And two, the Bigfoots do not want you making money off of them. They don't care if you make an honest living, but they are not a commodity. They are part human. They are not here for us to use as a business proposition. And so, especially like in Doreen's case, in my case, we don't get paid for any of this. You know, my research is really, I laugh when people say, oh, you do research on this. I don't feel that I've done research on this. I've just lived my life. They found me. I didn't find them. And so very seldom do I actually put forth information on social media, because it's just people believe what they're going to believe. And, you know, I always tell everybody, you don't have to have my beliefs. I'm fine with that. My job on this planet is not to force you to believe anything. All I can do is share my experiences. And when I first got even on Facebook, and that was like 2010, I think, and I only did that because Igor Borsev wanted me to get on there. And so when I did that, I was really naive because I had never been on a social media platform before. I didn't really speak out a lot. I did a little bit. And then people would contact me and they'd ask me questions. I would answer them, and then I would get attacked. And it's like, if you want me to be truthful, I'll be truthful. But if I, you know, I'm not going to lie, and I've said this to multiple people, and I've said this on social media, I am not going to lie for your comfort. If you ask me a question, I will be honest, and I will tell you the truth. If I don't know the answer, I will tell you I don't know the answer. But yet then they attacked. Now, these people that wanted to bash my head in with a lead pipe, I'd never met them before. I'd never had a conversation with them, knew nothing about them. The police gave me their names, and they sent a squad car to my house to keep an eye on me, told me not to let my kids go to school because they could be in danger. And I had never met these people. I didn't even speak a lot on social media. I did some, and Igor was posting things that went on at my house. I've never openly attacked anybody in my life. You know, and anything I've said is that, number one, I would never name anybody's names. I think that's completely disrespectful, and I refuse to lay in the mud with the hogs. But I will warn people for their own safety. You know, I've never attacked anybody. When people get to where they're attacking me on social media, I just delete the post and move on. I'm not going to engage. I'm just not. But these people wanted to do physical harm to me because they were so blinded by finding a Bigfoot and bagging a Bigfoot that they didn't care who they hurt.
Yeah, they think there's going to be a bunch of money. They think that they're going to get the money shot. And I'm here to say that nobody's going to get the money shot. I've seen a lot of good pictures of Bigfoot, and nobody's getting rich off of it, and nobody's going to get rich off of it. Sorry,
yeah, I think the Matilda video I thought was the best I've ever seen, and Adrienne got attacked, to the best of my knowledge. Well, I know Melba got attacked for it.
It's a clear picture in focus. People don't believe it. And if it's a blurry picture, they say it's too blurry. So it doesn't matter what you present in a photograph.
I know.
You're going to say it's fake or, you know, or it's inconclusive.
Yeah, and
so,
then they wanted a body. Okay,
yeah.
Number one, the Bigfoot bury their dead. Number two, any Bigfoot that anybody has had contact with that they have the body, the government takes it.
Yep.
And it's a vicious cycle. It really and truly is. And so when Melba did the study, she had blood, urine, a toenail, flesh. I mean, you name it, and this woman got it. And
yes,
that still didn't matter. And at the very end, it didn't matter. So there really and truly isn't anything. I think that people just can't wrap their heads. They want to. They want to in the worst way. But then when they're given the facts, it's like a brain blowout. It's more than they can handle. And that's okay. I personally don't take offense to that because I just feel like in their mind, they're not ready for that experience. They're not ready for that knowledge. And I don't get offended. When they're ready, their mind will accept it. But in the meantime, the problem that I have is the violence.
Right.
There is no reason. I don't care who it is. I watched about a week ago somebody that is a very, very kind person. I don't interact with her a lot. We kind of run in different circles, but I've talked to her a few times, and I've seen her on Facebook quite a bit. Very, very kind person. I've never seen this woman attack anybody. And she made a post and got just ravaged. And so she went back on and she said, listen, you know, people, please be careful. This person, you know, has been verbally abusing me. And she put his post up so people could see, which I thought, you know, that's really all you can do. But I thought, why? Why is it so important that if you see a post and you, I see posts every day that I don't agree with. People will come out and say, well, they're just an animal. And I'm like, okay, an animal that can read and write and has the ability to speak, has their own language, can speak ours, has their own culture, their laws, their family, everything that we do. And but you believe it's an animal. I'm not, that person is not in the mindset to believe what they really are. So I'm not going to go on there and attack them. They're entitled to their own beliefs. If that's what they believe, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what my beliefs are. The bottom line and the whole purpose for this show is the fact that violence is not acceptable. It's not something to be tolerated, and it's not okay. If you don't agree with someone's position, you don't have to go on and act like a jackass and be mean and threaten them. I mean, for what reason? Our world right now is at the worst it's ever been. The violence is so extreme. There's dark energy and dark matter everywhere. Nobody needs this. And it's really, there's no purpose for it. We need to be coming together in this world. And they are part of this world. The cryptids are there. They're not going anywhere. If people want to know the truth, then they should know the truth. If you don't want to believe the truth, that's completely your option. But that doesn't give anybody on either team the God-given right to verbally attack someone or physically attack someone. And it certainly doesn't give our government, who we have in power to help and protect us, the right to do the things that they do. And I think people just need to be aware of this when they go into this field.
Well, now, Robin, thank you. I want to get Mark in. Mark, do you have a question for our guests?
Well, first of all, I want to say on your show, John, and with all your guests, you know, you have a wide range of theories and experiences and knowledge, Robin including. I've learned a lot from her over my time being on your show and people like Matt Delf. And a lot of things that have been said, it's kind of been eye-opening for me because it's like when you're dealing with something that's like the limits of our knowledge, like this is almost like an epistemological discussion here, but like, any type of new research, whether it's UFO, psychic phenomenon, Bigfoot, or even the medical, when you're dealing with things that are ambiguous, right? It's a new field of knowledge, and the real trailblazers are going to be called crazy. You know, the world is round, right? Oh, you're crazy. You're getting tossed into a fire, right? Or like witchcraft and things like that. So that's understandable that, you know, you're going to get backlash. People are going to first laugh at you and then attack you, but then you're going to be right in the end, because in the end, if you speak truth, right? But on the topic of these types of fields, it does have a large history of these like charlatans, right? Whether it's the UFO fields, lots of fakes, lots of like, we know this, we all know this, like Bigfoot, there's being guys in costumes, you know, pretending to be Bigfoot and that. So there is a healthy degree of skepticism and discernment, I think, in the field, like not just take things for like, you know, face value for what it is or what somebody says, oh, it's true for sure. You know, I mean, people are going to question it, and that questioning should be encouraged, I think, to a degree. But the attacks,
oh,
no, that's not a good
thing.
Yeah,
with that completely, but there's no reason to become violent and hurt people.
Exactly. And, you know, when you question their beliefs, they get defensive. Like in psychology, it's called defense mechanisms. When people, you know, you question their beliefs, they might be in denial, or they might actually attack you, like that's called like displacement or projection. And that's a lot of the time involves gaslighting too, which we talked about before, where then they attack you. And that's just their own insecurities and things they project onto other people when you test their belief system, right? And it's understandable when you're dealing with, you know, some of the topics we deal with, which are pretty out there, right? And we try to ground them. And sometimes, you know, we don't have the direct proof like in science. You know, people want that empirical evidence, right? That's kind of the training of science, to see that empirical, see with your own eyes evidence in it and repeat that experiment type of thing. But I think what we're dealing with here, you know, in this type of unknown, these unknowns, is more of like a deductive reasoning, like Sherlock Holmes kind of reasoning too, where you're connecting dots between different things, right? And there is a lot of real proof out there, like when we're proving things, there's a lot of truth out there that has been now proved, and well, to a degree. And now if you connect the dots between that, I think that's where the bigger picture comes in. And I know why some people are resistant to that, because they have their set beliefs. So yeah, that's my take on that whole topic.
I agree.
Thank you, Mark. I mean, the fact is, too many people have seen Bigfoot. Where there's smoke, there truly is fire. And for the people that get so upset about it, they're going to have to grow up, because this thing is only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Am I correct, Doreen and Robin? They've just got to grow up.
I have said that the woo is not going away anytime soon, because the woo is actually the truth. And yes, I agree.
Well, I just want to say one thing. Well, number one, I completely encourage people to have their own thought process. You know, don't just because somebody says it, believe it as truth. And I don't expect everyone out there to believe everything I say, because I understand how confusing and how crazy it sounds. I live it every day. I get it. So my take on it is, I don't expect everybody to say, oh, well, she said it, so we have to believe it. No. You will believe and accept things in your own time, in your own way. And a lot of this stuff, it has to be something that you have to see with your own eyes and experience to believe. I get that. I completely encourage as many questions as anybody wants. My point, and I think Doreen can agree with me on this, for this show, was to show that while we encourage all the questions and while we don't expect everybody to believe everything right away, people take it to another level. And that level isn't okay. You know, I look on Facebook every day and I see a multitude of things on there I don't agree with, and I've yet to attack anybody. And I'm not just talking about this for myself. I'm talking about this for other people. You know, if you don't agree with it, fine, walk away. Nobody is forcing you to. Nobody's saying you have to. But walk away. Why, you know, do you feel? I know it triggers them because the concept is so far out they can't wrap their head around it. But this fight mode is absolutely ridiculous. You know, that's the thing about social media. You can walk away from it.
That's true. Well, people, it's like the greater societal problem that we have right now. People constantly trying to shut down the conversation. I mean, how are we going to learn anything about Bigfoot or anything else if we shut down the conversation before it even starts? And this is what people are trying to do when they are hearing things that they don't like to hear. And it's, in my experience, everybody needs to hear the stuff that they don't want to hear. Everything in my life that I heard that I didn't want to hear was exactly what I needed to hear. And this is no different.
I think a lot of people have had bad experiences with people in this kind of industry. Like, I know the UFO myself, and I know there's a lot of people that are just frustrated with all the fake information out there. I think a lot of that fake information is part of the CIA kind of counterculture. Like, it's almost been engineered, a whole counterculture, to mislead people, like, in different directions. Yeah. And it's frustrating when people are just trying to get down to the roots of things and then being in all these wild goose chases. So I can understand people's frustration when there's different, like, information that they might connect to, like, in, like, almost like a Pavlovian sense, like, condition sense, like, connect it with something else that was, like, a charlatan in the past, where there's these, like, shadowy pretenses of knowledge that they were given, like, you know, being sold, essentially. And so they might make that connection with other things. But I think there should be that there's healthy degree of questioning and even criticism to a degree. Criticism isn't necessarily attack. But I think
the
whole realm of critical thinking, like, we're critical thinkers here. You know, that, a little bit of criticism is a good thing, too. But as long, but if it takes to the next level where it's like, you know, anything malicious, then that's not a good thing. And I think it's harmful to the community, whatever community it is, whether it's a medical field of research or Bigfoot or UFO or anything unknown. You know, that this is how we're supposed to progress as a species.
I had a conversation the other day, and it was on a post by somebody that's completely on the opposing team. And they didn't agree with the study. They didn't agree with anything that I agree with. And you know what? We got along beautifully. He presented his side and said, but you know what, Rob? And this is just because we're friends. He said, you know, I think you're a good person, and I enjoy talking with you, and I, you know, I look forward to talking to you in the future. And somebody attacked him for his beliefs, and I said, listen, this is a good person. This is a good human being. I've had several conversations with him. I feel very comfortable talking with him. I may not agree with his position, but that's okay. We don't all have to agree. That's the thing in this. It's perfectly fine. You can be respectful and disagree. And him and I, on this post, had a lovely conversation. You know, I told him, I said, I think you're a good person. I think you're entitled to your beliefs, just as I feel I'm entitled to mine. And it's okay to disagree. There's nothing wrong with that. And if you don't ask questions from each other and other people, how do you learn? Seriously. You know, I had somebody the other day that contacted me and had questions for me, and I was sharing what I knew to be true. And he had some information that I had never heard about that made perfect sense. And when I asked the Bigfoots about it, they said, yes, that's right. You know, that is right. We do that, you know, for that particular reason. And I thought, great, here's somebody that came to me for help, and he taught me something. We are never at a level in this that we cannot or should not learn things. None of us know it all. I don't care who you are. But it's okay to not agree with each other. That's perfectly fine. Everybody is entitled to their opinion. I don't want anybody to listen to me and say, okay, this is gospel. You know, I share my experiences. That's all I do. If it helps somebody, if I can help somebody, I do my very best. I have a long list of people that I work with and try to help on a daily basis. But if someone doesn't agree with me, that's okay. Like, you can be kind, you can be respectful, and not have that aggression. Number one, it's wasted energy, but people get killed doing this. Kevin Lang died because of this. Okay? He didn't just have a heart attack. He was murdered over what he knew about the Bigfoot. and other people have died for it too. There is no reason that it has to go to this level. So when people get into this field of research, you know, I've stayed silent about it for many, many years, and I just feel like if you're going to get into anything, I don't care what it is, knowledge is power. And everybody needs to know what they're getting into. But at the same time, I have to say that there's a lot of really good people out there. I've met some of the best friends in my life through the whole field with the Bigfoot, Doreen included. I mean, I met all you guys. You guys are like family anymore to me, you know, and I feel so blessed. But there is a dark side that people are not aware of.
It's a really, really dark side. I mean, why in the world would somebody have to die for this? What is so important about that somebody needs to die for it?
It's just interesting
about that. I mean, why is there this level of violence and vitriol about Bigfoot?
Because somebody's threatened in the CIA or somewhere or in dark operations who don't want the truth getting out, probably.
Yeah, and I've heard from people that are government contact that I've had that have said that. They told me to watch my brakes, make sure my brake lines weren't cut, which at one point several years ago my brake lines were cut. And when I drove it and the brakes went out and I had a mechanic come to tow it, and he looked at it and he called me and he said, "So who hates you?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "These brake lines didn't break. These were cut. This was a professional job that was done." And he turned it over to the police department. And then when I went back to check on it a week later, surprise, surprise, the entire file was gone.
Yeah.
Now, the cut brake line, I never kept at my house. I had it at somebody else's house. But the point is, why? And I think it goes back to the ET side of it. I think it goes back to other cryptids that the ETs create most of the cryptids to begin with, but the government does as well. They have their fair share. And I think that it all ties into the same thing. And, you know, they can't protect everybody from the Sasquatch. They can't protect them from the Dogman or the Goatman or any of these other hybrids that are running around. And I think, you know, they don't want to lose the revenue from the national parks, which I can understand that 100%. But there has to be a better way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody should have to have their life threatened. I mean, I literally had to keep my kids at home from school in the house with me 24 hours a day until they got hold of these people. I had a police car at the end of my driveway. And at that time, I wasn't doing podcasts. I wasn't doing anything. I did go to Siberia, and I did the conference in Siberia, and I came home. I spent all my time with my kids and the Bigfoot. And this is what I got for it.
Well, Robin, that's interesting. I tell you what, we've got about 15 minutes left, and I want to have Dr. Trey and Mark each ask a question, and then we'll say sayonara until we do this again. And by the way, I'm going to ask you early, can we do this again later? Doreen, would you be with us?
Sure, I'd love it.
Yeah, I want to hear more from Doreen. I didn't want to talk as much as I did tonight. I'd like to hear more from her.
Doreen, will you come back and hang out with us another time?
I sure will. I'd love it.
Well, great. And Robin, of course, we'll hammer on you because we love having you on our show. But anyway, right now, Dr. Trey, do you have a closing thought or a closing question you'd like to express?
Well, I think the closing thought is that when you meet other humans that have different ideas than your own ideas, but if they are not harming other people and not harming you, really ought to just learn how to play nicer in the sandbox with each other.
Definitely.
That would be nice.
that is true, and that makes a lot of sense.
I actually have a question for Doreen. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm playing guest and co-host at the same time. Doreen, if you had, and I know you have, what could you tell us of an experience that you had where people have done something like this to you?
It's not been, like, in your case, it has not been, like, one major incident. Like, it's just been a lot of verbal attacks, usually by people who think they were going to make money and I was standing in the way of it, or I was saying something that was going to mess up a book they were writing, but something that was in, you know, contradiction to something that they were putting in a book or something like that. I've been attacked for the articles that I've written, introducing new ideas. I was one of the first people to explore the idea publicly of interdimensional travel.
Yep, you sure were.
And, yeah, the backlash from that was incredible. And I even cited a video from Michio Kaku on how interdimensional travel could happen. I mean, he explained it in detail. And, oh, my gosh, people just let me have it on that one. And in the coming weeks, other bloggers were talking about it. And I'm like, well, crapola, you know. I mean, they were so absolutely vicious to me about bringing up the subject. And the next thing I know, it's like, well, she's talking about it, so we can talk about it too. And the next thing I know, everybody's talking about it. And now it's pretty much mainstream. But mostly I have been attacked verbally. I haven't had people threaten my life, but I know other female researchers who have had that happen. And it's inexcusable, but I've been pretty lucky, but I've also stayed away from conferences, and John, nothing against conferences, but I have stayed away from that. Actually, meeting some of these people in person, I have not been comfortable with that. Some people that I deal with on Facebook that attacked me verbally, I definitely did not want to run into them at a conference, so I just don't go to conferences. But,
okay, well, I'll say this. Our conference crew, they are all very pro-Bigfoot, and if they're going to sit there for 8 hours and listen to talks,
yeah,
they're pro-Bigfoot, and they are charming people. We've got an artist who's going to draw a picture of Bigfoot in 8 hours. I mean, that's going to be great. I mean, you know, we have a lot of positive things, and that's what we kind of foster. Not kind of. That is exactly what we foster at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference and the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. It's a lot of fun.
I believe you. And let me say this. Most of this, of what I'm talking about, has come from the early days, you know, in 2011, 2012, when there was a lot more of this going on, when Robin is referencing some of the things that happened to her early on and things like that. I was attacked for the same reasons. I was actually writing articles that were kind of challenging what people were saying at that time. I was just presenting new ideas about them that I thought might be interesting to explore, and I was attacked for that. So, and I wasn't saying these were facts, that what I was saying were factual. I was just saying, what if? I was putting out what if scenarios, and oh my gosh, I mean, just for doing that, I was attacked by a lot of different people that I won't mention, but I don't have anything against conferences now, but in those days, there's no way I would have gone to a conference because I was being attacked from all sides, and mostly from people who were trying to make money off of the subject. So that situation has changed. I haven't had that problem in quite a long time. So
yeah,
I just want to put that out there.
Gotcha. Well, I've got to say this, and I've only talked about this with my friends, but this weekend I'm going to be out in Los Angeles as a guest on William Shatner's Unexplained, and they are going to be asking me pointed questions about Lizard Man and Bigfoot. And my email address is going to go up, and I cannot wait. I mean, doing this on, you know, this is going to air late June, early July. And I cannot wait for the questions to come in, because they're going to get some tough answers from me. I guess I'm a lot tougher about this stuff because I know what I have seen. I'm sitting there at Robin's house eating a nice, pleasant late lunch, and I see a Bigfoot walking by the window, and I jump and I run out and it's gone. I mean, you know, listen, I know what I saw. I mean, I can't help the timeline that I was given, and so I can't wait. I'm sorry. I'm probably real tough about this because, you know, you're going to have to prove that I haven't seen it, and you can't do that. You can't prove haven't. And in fact, we're going to be doing a special, and Dr. Trey, assuming Dr. Trey is going to still be with us after tonight, we're going to do a special next Sunday night, Easter, in a week from Sunday night, Easter Sunday night, which is the 125th anniversary of the Aurora UFO sighting in Aurora, Texas. And it's going to be a blast because there are several skeptics that claim it didn't happen. Well, my attorney and I have been discussing how one cross-examines witnesses. And none of the witnesses or the people that claim it didn't happen could possibly be cross-examined because they would fail. And this is what the skeptics and I love skeptics now because I can bury them. I can bury them in their own mud now. And I'm going to be doing that from now on because you know what? They don't follow the rules of science. They don't follow the rules of statistics. They do basically a sample of one. If someone says it did or did not happen, they believe it. And they are absolutely dumb as dirt. And I'm sorry for saying that. They have not been trained in research. Dr. Trey Donaway has been trained in science. I've been trained in science. And what I hate is to see people just express their opinions and have no reason for their opinions. So we're going to do a lot of burying in the next 10 years, and I'm going to enjoy it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to do a little bit of it on the Aurora broadcast on Easter Sunday night, but probably that is going to be the next book that I'm going to be writing is how people do this, and it's nothing more than opinion. It has nothing to do with science and research. And we've got to get over this. So if I can help in any way to get over this phobia of, well, I don't like it, so I don't believe it, and I'm going to talk about it, that doesn't do any good. We're going to have to really step forward and say, you've got to have some research. You've got to have something that makes sense, or we're not going to listen to you. And that's my tome about, you know, what I think about these folks that – just want to say their opinion without any fact. So, Doreen, I hope that helps a little bit. And I'm going to probably raise the standard for Bigfoot research. You know, we're going to have to do that. And I think it's important. So are you okay with that?
I'm fine with that. Thank you very much.
Well, good.
And, John, I want to tell you first, congratulations on the William Shatner show. I think that is it Unexplained that you're doing the show.
Yeah,
I think that's
I don't know how they I don't know how they found
nobody,
me, but thank you to the internet. Thanks to the
nobody
internet.
Nobody deserves
it.
Yeah, nobody deserves it more than you, John. You work your butt off, and I keep telling him this, and he's going to get tired of me telling him this. John has, I sent it to him, the only picture that I've ever seen of the Lizard Man. And it was taken in my backyard.
It's already blown up 11 by 17, and it is now laminated, and I'm taking it with me, okay?
I know. I keep bugging about it. I'm like,
John, nobody else that I've seen has had one. I mean, there's sketches all over, but this is the actual picture of one. And he is actually quite clear in it. So,
it's a good picture.
It's a pretty darn good picture. It really is. So I'm going to take it out there.
John's
I don't know if we'll be able to show
it.
And it's sitting here in my Office Depot bag, and that's really cool. All right, Mark Johnston, I'm going to give you the last question, and then we're going to say sayonara tonight. And we'll be back next week. So, Mark Johnston, what do you have to say?
Well, I can empathize with what was said tonight between Robin and your guests there. Just when you get attacked for things that you say that are kind of out there, you know, people have a hard time believing it if it doesn't meet their concepts of what reality actually is. And since we're dealing with things that are kind of outside the box as far as things we can pinpoint and fully define and fully prove in the traditional sense, then it's understandable, but it's also sometimes it goes over the top. So I know my own ways I deal with people like this. I was just wondering, do you have any coping mechanisms or questions or like modalities you do to kind of cope with these types of people?
Yeah, I don't lay in the mud with hogs. I refuse to engage when they are attacking like that. Not because I feel I'm in the wrong, but because I morally feel that I don't have to sit there and prove anything to anybody. That's not my job. And I believe that everybody has a right to their opinion. I don't believe they have a right to behave the way they do, but they're going to do what they want to do. That doesn't mean I'm going to. I would never behave in a manner when I'm sitting there looking at someone else behave like that and I'm disgusted by it. So when they get that way, I do one of two things. I just either walk away, delete the post, but I just go on with my life. I go on with, you know, working with the Bigfoot and the cryptids and wonderful people like you guys, and I just simply don't engage.
Yeah, definitely. I usually just try to be polite, and if that doesn't work, I just walk away. I basically am always trying to be responsible for my own behavior, and I don't engage in the behavior that I'm hating from them. And I think that's what Robin is saying.
Well, you guys sound a lot more polite than me. I engage people and debate hardcore all the time online, and I love it. I thrive off that stuff. you seem like you're nice.
I will put my facts on. Now, don't get me wrong. If I think that it's a controlled, even though they may be agitated, if it's a controlled situation where I can put my facts out calmly and respectfully, then I always do. Just like, you know, with the gentleman about the levitation. And, you know, he came off at first a little gruff, and he said, but I'm not trying to be disrespectful. And I said, please, no, I'm not taking it that way. I appreciate you asking questions. Don't feel you have to believe what I say. This is my experience, and that's all I can tell you about. And he came back, and he was, you know, very kind, wonderful, praised me for not being angry and getting aggressive with him because he had a different point of view. So in those situations, and he asked me, you know, my experiences, which I put out there for him, if I can engage with that person in a matter of civility where I think that anything I have to say would be of value to them or they would at least give it a consideration, then I absolutely will, every time. If it turns even worse, I'm done. I'm just not going to be in that same behavior. I will try to calmly have a discussion and prove the reason why I feel that I do. And usually I'll say, you know what, you're entitled to your opinion, but this is what I personally have experienced, and this is why I think the way I do. And I'll do that, but if it escalates from there, I'm out of there. I don't have time to deal with that kind of crap. You know, I help people every single day. I have people that I contact or contact me because they need help with something or just have questions. That, to me, is more important than dealing with somebody that already has his mind made up or her mind made up and is not going to change it by anything I have to say. And at that point, they can just believe what they want to believe, and I'm okay with that. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't change my life as long as it doesn't get to these physical attacks.
There are actually people who come in for the purpose of debating, and I don't usually engage with debating because, like Robin says, it doesn't change anybody's mind. It's just some people like to go in and argue and debate. You know, they want to call it debate, but it's really them arguing. So
yeah, but public debates are good sometimes because you can show other people through logical reasoning, like you can actually prove it in front of other people who might be on the fence about things. And in a public setting, it's actually a pretty good thing.
That's a good thing. That's when you want to have those discussions.
Yeah, you can tell when a person really wants to understand something. But what we run into a lot is just people want to argue. They want to display their intelligence that they think they have, and they want to make you look stupid. So that's what we run into a lot. But there are people who genuinely do want to learn. So
I just don't promote the hate. You know, have a difference of opinion, not a issue with me at all. I encourage people to have their own thought process and not, you know, just because I say something, jump on that wagon. If you have questions, if it makes you think about it and you want to ask questions, that's a wonderful thing, but I don't promote the hate.
Anytime people are starting to think for themselves and have a, you know, think outside the box and have a view of their own, I'm all for it. I mean, even if I don't agree with them necessarily, if they're thinking it through, I think it's great. So,
yeah. Well, this is Dr. John, and I'll close with this. I would just ask him, have you not seen a Bigfoot levitate? And just
I've
listen.
Seen it.
And I know, but if they say Bigfoot doesn't levitate, then how do you know, and have you seen a Bigfoot not levitate? And that ends the discussion. They can't say anything.
Yeah, I tell people, prove to me it's not. You want me to prove it all the time. Okay, how about you prove to me it's not when I sit in my house and I watch this happen? Now, like I said, the guy in the conversation over levitation, he was wonderful. I thought he handled himself wonderfully. It was a positive experience. But I'm talking about other conversations when people come at me and say, well, they're not this and this and this. They can't go through a portal. Okay, I sat on my porch and watched one do it. So you proved to me that what I saw was wrong, because you can't. You can't prove I'm wrong any more than I can prove to you I'm right, other than tell you what I saw.
Absolutely.
Yeah, basically people thinking that they know something that they can't possibly know. So.
Well, that's great. Well, look, I tell you what, our guest/co-host, I want to thank you for being here tonight. You have really shed some light on this topic, and we want to talk to you again and keep talking privately, one-on-one, to learn more about this experience. And I want to say thank you so much for being here. And I want to thank our co-host tonight, Mark Johnston, and our Surgeon General of ScaryCast. We've asked some good questions, and we've learned a lot, and I think it's been great. So thank you so much. We will be back now. We will be back next Sunday night and next Monday night, because we got a lot of great guests, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So, ladies and gentlemen, join us back again on ScaryCast. We're going to have fun. And so we're going to, before the British lady says goodbye, let's all say goodbye.
Hi, everybody. Doreen, thank you for coming on here with me.
Thanks, Robin. Thank you all for having me on. I appreciate it. It was
fun.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone.